This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. What does the Weather Channel app share in common with a personal trainer and a life coach? It's an ally on your quest to wellness. What you do with its insight is up to you. Like running an extra mile when air quality is good, or checking your allergy forecast so not even ragweed can disrupt your chi. It's more than a weather app. What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show, where I welcome Dr. Sarah Nasirzadeh. And Dr. Sarah is an author, speaker with a PhD in social psychology and specialization in the fields of human sexuality and relationships. She has over two decades of experience working with thousands of couples across the globe. She is widely respected by her peers for her research, powerful keynote speeches, educational platforms, and award-winning publications. And she has appeared in global media outlets such as NPR, BBC, ABC, CNN, and USA Today. And today, Dr. Sarah and I talk about her new book, Love by Design, Six Ingredients to Build a Lifetime of Love. And I really enjoyed this conversation. We touched on several very specific exercises you can do to build more love and connection in your relationship. And these are some new exercises that we haven't specifically covered or had shared on this show. And I always love like very specific actionable tips that, you know, you can take home, that you can implement today. I took lots of notes on these, and I think you guys are going to love these exercises and love the insights that Dr. Sarah brings to today's conversation. As always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Enjoy today's show. Hi, Dr. Sarah. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Today, we're going to talk about the subject of your new book, and that is the six ingredients to build a lifetime of love. And I thought we could start by having you share with our listeners a little bit of background of what led you to write this book, and then we'll dive into the interesting things you have found to help people understand the ingredients to a thriving relationship.
Absolutely. So in the past more than 20 years, I sat with hundreds, if not thousands of couples around the world and listening to their painful stories when they were trying to chase love, be in it, be out of it, break free from it, and mend broken hearts, all, you name it. I was there holding hands, crying sometimes even with them. Over a period of time, my researcher hat on, I thought there must be a better way. There must be. And also, I have to say that being in this world and living in this world, I wanted to find the answer also selfishly too. So how can we do this for ourselves? To build a lifetime of love, meaning that, you know, being in a loving relationship that a person desires and also deserves. So that was a very basic fundamental level that I really wanted to decode this whole understanding that we have around love.
So let's dive into it. What is one of the more maybe surprising ingredients to a thriving relationship that you found?
That's a great question, actually. I wouldn't say there wasn't anything surprising in the ingredients, because if I may go over them, So attraction, shared vision, respect, compassion, being loving, trust, physical connection, these are not the ones that we haven't heard before, right? What was quite surprising for me was the whole new model of love that came out of this research. So for example, we say, here's love, here's how it should look like, feel like, be practiced, all that we know in multiple resources that we have so far. But I never thought of it this way, that when two people come together, 1 + 1 = 3. And within that third entity is a love that will emerge based on 6 key ingredients that there are non-negotiables, and they are in interaction with one another all the time. So it's not, I've been asked this question that, is it okay if trust is not there? Is it okay if we have like 20% of respect? Is it okay? No, it's not okay. Because these are like our research at least showed that if one of them goes away for a significant amount of time, meaning that, you know, you can define that in any relationship based on the dynamics within the relationship, the love will die. It's like a spark and a log coming together in a conducive context, making fire. You can negotiate and say, I'm going to take the log away or the spark away or the oxygen away and negotiate with the fire to still be there. That's like impossible, no?
That's a great and interesting point, you know, because I can think of, let's say, attraction's probably a big one. It's the first thing we see our partner. And let's say, and then you're operating on all these deeper biological urges that are driving us, and we're wildly attracted to our partner. We may overlook something, right? And say, oh, well, I don't know if I can trust them. That's okay. You know, I'm wildly attracted to them. And what you're saying, and what I think we all know, but don't necessarily do, is that that is not sustainable. What would you tell someone as far as framing this? Let's say the example I gave, you're wildly attracted to this person, but you know that maybe there's something that's not aligning. How can we have the courage to go, okay, you know, to step away, or just the awareness?
It would be very difficult, because what you're describing is infatuation. So there are two ways that we are, what I discuss in the book, the difference between sexual chemistry and that sexual drive and attraction that is usually is organized around the primal needs of us to reproduce, right? So if we believe in evolution, when you go in, you are drawn to somebody sexually in that strong way so that you can't resist them, right? You come together, you're convinced that you have sex, and you create healthy babies with diverse range of genes, right? To create the species that could go on, you know, the continuum of our species. So that is sexual chemistry. That's amazing for hot and hot sex and adventures and all that. And that's okay if you only want to experience that sort of hot sex with somebody for a period of time, for as long as it lasts, right? And based on research, we know on average 2 years. But if you want to really build something with someone, build a life, build a family, social capital with somebody, financial capital with somebody, that is a very shaky base. So in that regard, physical attraction was one of the elements that came out of our research, that you are going to be physically attracted to the other person. And if you are not, that is not something that you can create later in life. So you need to find them pleasant physically. And that's mostly socially constructed, depending on who you assume to be attractive, who you want to be around, that, so to speak. Right. And then on that, you're going to also expand your conversations, the content of your dating process, whatnot, to make sure that the respect, compassion, all of those elements are also in place. And then you are compatible in your skills and interpersonal skills and dynamic to bring them to life. But people who are in that infatuated situation that you are describing, what I will tell them is, it is wonderful that you have that attraction. Just please don't close your eyes. Use your brain, because when you are infatuated, brain is out of the picture. completely out of the picture. So you're mad by definition, right? It's important for you to have somebody who advocates for you, sit you down, talk to you. Hey, you're in love with this person, but they want to have a farm in the middle of Switzerland. And you are the person who would like to live in New York City and run a bookstore. How's that going to work? You know, so these sort of things are the visions aligned, are the, you know, the way that you present yourself to the world. And through all of those six ingredients, you need to have somebody with the same mind to be able to be there and speak with you, although we won't listen to them because, you know, we're madly in love. But that would be my advice, because it's very difficult to ask a drunk person to make rational decisions.
It's such an important point of understanding ourselves and understanding these mechanisms. And yeah, and I like that we started with attraction, because yeah, that's the first thing. And it's one of the more powerful things of we're physically attracted to someone, we have good sex, and we can overlook a lot of red flags. And instead of taking a step back and going, okay, do our values align? Do they want to live, you know, somewhere that I want to live? Like these questions that we really have to be honest with ourselves too, because I find that even when we step back and go, okay, wait, we'll kind of deceive ourselves. And I say that from personal experience, having done it. Can you talk a little bit about how we can talk to ourselves and to be more honest despite our drunken love feelings?
Yeah, sure. I would always say do that before that happens. Right. So I know that some of your listeners are pre-dating. Some of them are dating. Some of them are already there in love and infatuated. Some of them past that and on the other side of the bridge. So it's important for us, when you say honest, it's important to have some level of self-literacy, as I call it. You need to know what your love blueprint is. You need to know what is attractive to you. These are the important questions that sometimes we miss out on. Let's say, for example, when we say attraction, as soon as I say attraction, people think about physical attraction, sexual attraction, but there are financial attractions, social attractions, all sorts of other attractions, intellectual attractions, which is a growing sort of attraction these days for a lot of couples, that if you can't really talk to the person, hold the conversation, enjoy their company, feel like you're growing and by mind and soul, over a period of time, it's just boring, even when sex is great, right? So when you say, be honest, I would say put your efforts where that matters. Put your efforts in getting to know yourself. What excites you? What are you made of? What are your essences? An essence, for example, in the book, I describe some building blocks for people. As you are trying to understand what am I made of, let's say, for example, grace is one of my essences, right? It doesn't matter if I'm in conversation with you, I keep at my graceful level, you know, I still present myself as with grace. So talking about the essences, it's important to know that what is it that makes you you that you are going to present with regardless of the context. You could be punching me in the face. I'm graceful, if grace is one of my elements, right? You could be giving me a gift. I'm graceful. So these are the things that you need to be very clear about, that what am I? So that. Then it comes the identities. Then it comes the different roles that I assume for myself in my life. So I see a lot of couples, for example, that they are heavily dating. But then also on the other side of it, they are so entrenched with their family of origin or other responsibilities that they have in life that they don't really have the space for another human being in their lives. So these are the things that when you say honesty, you need to really be honest about your resources, about what you're made of, all of those.
We're talking a lot about attraction and understanding ourselves. And you mentioned the love blueprint. I imagine understanding our love blueprint, there's some overlap there with the key ingredients to building love. Can you share some of those?
Sure. So with the love blueprint or any kind of blueprint of the six ingredients, trust, respect, compassion, all of that, one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves is, growing up or in my previous significant relationships, what did I attach to those? Let's say, for example, somebody said, growing up thinking that if you do the chores, you love mommy. So then you attach doing something, doing like a chore for somebody or act of service for somebody, you connect it with act of love. That is love. Then you end up in a relationship and you feel like, you know, just by doing for the other person, you're showing your love, while the other person doesn't perceive it that way. So that is the blueprint that we're coming from. Or for example, give grandpa a kiss. Otherwise, he thinks that you don't love them. Then touch becomes an act of love for you, right? Or in your previous relationships, when you didn't voice your boundaries, when you went out of your way sacrifice for the other person to please them, to put them first, that was considered as an act of respect, for example. And then you're coming to this relationship, your current relationship, thinking that, okay, so that is the one that I need to attach myself to. So knowing your blueprint goes a long way, because I'll tell you what it does subconsciously. You either push it away because you recognize that it's not serving you, you push it away to the point that you might actually fall off the cliff on the other side, or you are attracted to it. So you will look for that. And many people that I see, they're like, why do I fall for all of these wrong people? That's why the blueprint.
Yeah.
That's the default, right?
Yeah. And then certainly understanding it for ourselves is important. And then if we can understand our partner's blueprint, then we're going to be able to relate better. And that's such a huge thing. And I was just thinking of the example you gave and the meaning that we put behind things. And you touched on the love languages, you know, basically act of service and touch. Understanding that for yourself, if that's new to you, and sometimes I assume that everyone knows when I say that, but a lot of our listeners, this may be the first time hearing about love languages, and we'll link to some of Gary Chapman's work and have an understanding of your love language so that you can share that with your partner and then understand your partner's love language so you can relate better. And almost, I was just thinking of an example where my girlfriend, acts of service is one of her love languages. And actually, when we first started dating, she had heard of it, but not really, you know, she didn't really understand. So it was great. It was like, all right, I want to know. And so acts of service. And there was a situation where I had offered to get her breakfast in the morning and she was running late for work. And, you know, I'm like, that just felt good to me, you know, and so I'm going to go get her breakfast. And like 10 minutes later, and I still hadn't gone because I was just waking up, and it really frustrated her. Like, I won't give all the details, but basically she's like, are you going to go? But, and then kind of just went and did it herself. And then I layered all this meaning onto it with my anxious attachment of like, well, what did I do wrong? And, you know, I was just trying to help. But in the end, I unpacked it, and I actually just unpacked it for myself and we shared, but it was like, she was running late. I said I would go do this thing and I was kind of not doing it. I had an intention to do it, but what I think happened was that because that's also one of the ways she received love, and I'm kind of making some assumptions here, but let's just say I know that is, and I said I would do it and then I didn't right away. That might be like an extra wound for her of like, wow, you just extended like this love that I want to feel, this is how I receive it. And then you kind of withdrew it. And even though my intention was to go, that cut even deeper when, from my perspective, it's like, hey, what's the big deal? You know, I was going to go, I didn't go right away. And it's just so interesting having that knowledge of these things and being able to then have more compassion for her in the situation and going, oh, wow, you know, and again, this is not true to her, but we can make a leap and just say, what if her dad promised her things and to do for her and then never followed through? And again, I'm just saying hypothetically, but that can give me more compassion rather than going, oh, why did she respond in such a negative way and layering all this meaning on top of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what you are alluding to is actually trust in that moment that you didn't follow through with what you offered. Initially, for me, going back to the ingredients, what you offered was an act of love, tender, exclusive, going out of your way for your partner, anticipating their needs. We do things for them that we don't do for other people. That's one of the ingredients, being loving. But then when you didn't follow through, you breached the trust. And trust is with consistency and reliability. Can I count on what you just said? That's going to happen. How small or big doesn't matter.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues. So they made one. Estro Control. Relationship Advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estro Control eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estro Control is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estro Control works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's happymammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach, integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you.
That's a great point. And again, to just go with this example of how things could spiral, like I said, I planned to do it, you know, and it was just a 5-10 minutes. I was kind of having my coffee, waking up, and she was in a rush. And I wasn't in a rush, you know, and I didn't realize how much she needed it then. And yeah, I can see now how that it could be a trust thing of like, you said you would do it. And even though it was small in my mind and I was going to do it, there can be so much more meaning and wounding there that no matter how small the breach, it could cut so much deeper. And I think that's such an important perspective because I could dig my heels in and say, well, just be thankful that I offered and I'm going to go. Or I can go, oh, wow, you know, I'm sorry that you felt like I wasn't going to do it or that I didn't do it when I said I would. And then we move forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And also I want to acknowledge what a beautiful partner you are to even think about it, that my partner is in a rush and then I'm going to do that. But if I may introduce your listeners to one of the tools that I have for people to get to know themselves and their partners better, talking about what sensitivities we are dealing with, right? Sometimes there are certain things that are more sensitive for the other person than ourselves. And it's very difficult to know that. It takes time and effort and proper conversations, so to speak, to bring them up. To make it easier, I have this exercise around quirks, pet peeves, and sensitivities. Quirks usually are very difficult for people to come up with because these are the things that make us, and we think they are cute, and these are really not a big deal, like if I hum every day or if I nervously move my leg or chew gum loudly, whatever my quirk is, right? I do that. And then at the beginning of the relationship, especially if there is an infatuation, that doesn't happen to every couple, but when there is an infatuation, we usually don't see those. That part of the brain is usually numb. So we can't really pick them up. And if we do, we look the other way because we so badly want this person to be the person, right? We want it work. Over a period of time, these quirks might become pet peeves for the other person. So now I'm not going to sit at the dinner table with you because you chew with your mouth open. That's not okay. You know, that's not okay for me. And then the other thing is the sensitivities that you're talking about. So sensitivities, the way that I describe them, are the ones that you feel like you have a chip on your shoulder almost. You're more sensitive than an average person. For example, if you experience breach of trust, somebody not coming through for you in your childhood, in your previous significant relationships, then even the act of me going to the bathroom with my phone in my hand, just check the news, will trigger you. Right? So these are the things that, you know, if you can really, that's why I say put your efforts where that matters. Just this single conversation, trust me, just do it. See how significant it's going to improve your connection with your partner. So let's go over them just quickly so people know. Quirks are the ones that majority of times you're not even aware of them. Just listen to yourself and other people that, like your siblings, your previous partners, your roommates, you know, whoever, that say, oh, that's cute when you do that. List those as best as you can. And then also think about the ones that you can think of from your partner. Oh, this is so him. This is so them, you know, those things, quirks. And then pet peeves are the ones that actually send tingle down your spine. It really bothers you, that wet tissue in the sink, that spitting on the floor, that chewing with the mouth open, whatever that your thing is, right? And then notice that about yourself, that other people pointed out to you, and notice that about the other person. And then the sensitivities, that goes to those blueprints and the great example that you brought, right? And then just have a conversation. If your ability allows, just go out for a walk and say, hey, what's on your list? What is on my list? There's no judgment. It's just getting to know each other much better so that you know where to put your efforts and where to show up for one another.
And that takes some real introspection, you know, because as you're saying that, I'm trying to think of those things and they don't just immediately pop up. Obviously, we're having this conversation. So if I sat down, I'm sure I could think of something. But I'm also thinking of, to go with the example I gave, how important curiosity is in those moments and what later helped me. Because my initial feeling and response was like, hey, I was trying to do something nice for you and it ended up that you got upset with me. And that layered all kinds of feelings towards me. But rather than going, well, and then that made me feel bad, what was more valuable was to go, oh, wow, I'm curious why that elicited the response it did from you. It seemed like that really bothered you that I didn't go to the store right away. Can you tell me, you know, what I could have done differently or why that upset you? And it might not be immediately to have that conversation. She was in a rush, so it wasn't immediately, but to bring it up later, because then we can develop a deeper understanding of each other. And it's almost like my awareness of myself and my partner's actions is able to bring more awareness to them, right? And I'm not saying in a blaming way, but they can go, oh yeah, you know what? That did bother me. And it does bother me when someone says they're going to do something and doesn't. And they may not have even realized that. And that is the beauty of relationships, is that we're constantly challenging, triggering, reflecting, hopefully not constantly triggering too much, reflecting back on each other back and forth. And it's not about preventing those moments. It's about recognizing them, bringing awareness around it. And curiosity has been such a valuable thing for me to try to do, to be curious about myself and observe my emotion around something rather than react, and to observe my partner's emotion around something and then to ask questions.
Yeah. If I may add also, that's a great point. You're also touching on compassion from the six ingredients here. Compassion means in a certain situation, don't make it about yourself. Be there for the other person. Let's say, for example, you say, I'm hurt. And then your partner comes and says that, let me show you how much you hurt me. For me, the analogy that I give to my couples is that imagine that you're bleeding the hurt, right? And you go to the other person and say, I'm bleeding. Something happened between us, or even not between us, you know, something happened, right? And then the other person says, yeah, I'm bleeding too. Or say, oh, you think you have a scar? I have a wound. Let me show you, right? And then both of you start bleeding, which is the over-empathizing with one another, right? And then nobody gets a band-aid. Nobody gets cure here, right? So it's important to tap into compassion plus the curiosity here. So curiosity has a hint of ignorance also, because I don't know what I don't know, right? From there on, we need to also develop curiosity to genuine interest. Because if we stay at the level of curiosity for many things that we discussed before, or our partner feels like, I told you 100,000 times, right? And then that could be actually offensive. That's lack of respect, right? Because I told you what matters to me and you keep doing it. So they are nuances. You see the nuances? The other thing is, I would love for people to make it clear. Let's say, for example, you have that conversation. When somebody doesn't show up, it doesn't matter, big or small, it really gets to me, right? That's a conversation. But when you put the measure, it's actually 9 out of 10 to me. It's really important to me. Then as a partner, you're clear. Where would I put my efforts? Because if you go 10 by 10 every day, you're exhausted. Nothing lasts, right? But then sometimes you can check, how much does it bother you actually, you know, that I do this thing, for example. They're like, 2 out of 10, you know? So it's important for us to also know as how much, the quantity of it, quantification of it, I find very helpful too.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does, by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. EarnIn allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. EarnIn is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Hey, Love Tribe. I have just a few questions for you. I want to know why you are here listening to the podcast. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner and you want to feel truly heard? Or are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? Or do you just long for those fun, giggly moments of connection that you used to have at the beginning of your relationship? Well, over the last decade of hosting this podcast, those were the main reasons people tuned into the show. And we get it. We've been there. So we created our course, Spark My Relationship, because we wanted to put those tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. We're offering $100 off our course, Spark My Relationship, which is a self-paced course designed to help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner and have an amazing time doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. So to unlock this special offer of our course, our listeners can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get $100 off. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
And understanding that from our partner and for ourselves. And I find in moments of conflict, I can get so focused on how I was wronged and how, you know, how I want to fix it, or the logical brain, or even not how I was wronged, but like what they're doing and deeper wounds and what's going on, trying to dissect it all. And that's good to have an understanding. But I think what you said of, at a certain point, both acknowledging that, hey, we're both hurting and we want, and to have compassion in that, and maybe to focus on what do we both want? We want to feel understood and connected. And sometimes I found that can be helpful to focus on like the broader picture and not the specifics of the little fight and do I want to be right or what's going on here, and just going, okay, I can let that go. Obviously, there's things we don't want to let go with boundaries and toxic patterns, but the small things, if we're able to let them go. I had a conversation recently with Dr. Helen Fisher and talked about, you know, positive illusions. And that's such a valuable thing to go, all right, like cancel out the negativity bias. Don't just focus on the negative. Go, all right, yeah, my partner is running late. They're frustrated I didn't go to the store on time. And that's okay. You know, like I would probably do the same thing in their position, or maybe I wouldn't, but I can have compassion towards that. I don't have to fix that and tell them how much I was wronged by their reaction. Because again, that's my tendency to do. I think a lot of times the ego wants to defend and then go, all right. And we let it go and we move forward. Now, I think a key there, what I realized too, is that if that's a pattern, if every time I offer to do something and then if I don't do it immediately, there's a negative response and we're in this cycle, then it's a broader thing to address. But if it's one time under circumstances that were high stress, running late, it's like, just let it go.
Exactly. Letting go is an art. So several points come to my mind. First of all, my dear colleague, Dr. Stan Tatkins, talks about win or be in a relationship. Pick your pick. So that's a good one, right? But another thing that I introduced in the book was the rule of 5-5-5 that actually I learned as a child. And then later on, I implemented in my practice. When something happened, just to give perspective, in that moment in time, usually when we are hurt, offended, or uncomfortable, or triggered, it's very difficult to let go because it's physiologically difficult to let go. I don't want to sound like, you know, too neuroscience-y, but if you bear with me for the science of it for a second, when the body perceives a threat through any of those emotions and sensations that I just described, you know, like hurt and offended and triggered, all of that, it goes to pull in all the memories and somatic experiences that it had in similar situations. So it doesn't matter how much you say, calm down, it's okay, let go. Your body says, what are you talking about? I'm going to be eaten right now. No, right? So that doesn't work. So to come out of it is very important to know the patterns of thoughts, the content of your thoughts. When one negative thought usually comes, we have something in that we call like an ant. If you go with the analogy of ant, right? Automatic negative thoughts. If you think of the insect ant, they don't ever come alone. The first one comes and then, hey, buddy, is calm. The whole tribe comes, right? Imagine the chain. So it's an art and practice for us to monitor the thoughts and the narratives that we have in our heads, right? About our partners, about ourselves, and about the relationship. If you have too much negativity over a period of time, that becomes your default. So it's much easier for you when the first one comes, you open the door, the whole tribe is welcome to the feast. But if you really know how to rewrite that narrative for yourself, sometimes I ask people to do jumping jacks. Sometimes I ask people to just listen to something that they saved on their phone or a message even to themselves. Message to self. Come on, this person is a good person. Be self-respect, you know, like be self-reflective and come out of this mood. Or a music, piece of music that you listen to, or go for a walk. When you bring yourself out of that negative mentality, then you are able to see, to have a proper vision. On the other side of it, I have to also put a disclaimer here. There are many people who put their head under the sand. They are alarming signs all over written in their relationship. So they kill the negative thought there and then, which is actually there to alert them, to alarm them. So I want to just put that out there too. We are not going after toxic positivity, so to speak, as you know, the discourse goes. But one thing that could help people with perspective, because that's what we lose in those moments of feeling threatened, right? The rule of 5-5-5 that I mentioned that I learned as a child. Does it matter in 5 minutes? Does it matter in 5 days? Does it matter in 5 years? If the answer is, does it matter in 5 years? I'm going to stand there and have a conversation or ask for a time to sit down and talk. Anything short of that, I'm like, moving on. Right? So whatever that works for you to induce perspective, go in front of the mirror, look wide and far. Look up, look wide. And or move your eyes to the sides, bilateral stimulation of the brain. So there's so much that we know with neuroscience that can actually help us in those situations. In our research, it showed the content of your thoughts about yourself, the other person, and the relationship has direct correlation with the outcome of your relationship.
I love that. And I want to go back to the bilateral stimulation because that interests me. But I just want to share what has been valuable to me as someone who can be anxious. And I can tell these grand stories about a situation or a person, and maybe our listeners can relate, that we just can just go off on our negativity bias and the story of what's happening. And it's usually, I'd say 99% of the time, not the reality of the situation. So these exercises you're saying are so powerful. And what I found is writing out the reality, writing out the facts as I know them. I could be feeling super hurt by something someone said, you know, a friend or a partner. And then I could go, wait, what is objectively as I can, what's going on here? Oh, this person loves me and every day they call me and we have great time together and all these things that show me that actually the story I'm telling is far from the truth. And those automatic negative thoughts are definitely a thing. And so the more we can create the habit of not going down this trail, I can write a novel sometimes in my head. It's like, hey, let me sit down and write. And just taking that pause is so valuable. Now I'm going to add in looking to the right and left, the bilateral stimulation. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on there?
Sure. That's actually the basis for EMDR, if people are familiar with them, the form of therapy for trauma therapy mainly. So let's talk about that. Where does that come from? Well, we can go to the history and stuff, but let's just keep it to our conversation. And please stop me, ask any questions for clarification. So one of the things that happened in those moments, as I mentioned, in those moments that we feel hurt, when you say going spiraling down in the rabbit hole, right? The whole mechanism of a human is to preserve safety. So if you feel uncomfortable, hurt, offended, triggered, all of those good stuff that we talked about, your body goes into that mode of preservation, not creating connections, right? So it becomes very self-centered, self-focused. So you're stuck in a perspective. That's where you go down the rabbit hole because your amygdala is active, which is a sensor to connect with your memories, right? Bring the memories. And when it starts accessing the negative memories, anxious state of being, being hurt and threatened, it's very difficult for it to stop and say, hey, let's pause and go to the more positive side. Right? So what you're doing with your writing practices, writing the facts, reminding yourself of all of those counter arguments that could be true, you are in a way trying to do cognitive behavioral therapy for yourself. You're trying to write a new narrative instead of the scared brain is trying to produce. And the baseline, as you're describing it, if your baseline is anxious, it's easier for you to go there than other people. So that's one of the sensitivities that you might be carrying, right? Now, to go from that, so the bilateral stimulation, what it does is that it breaks you from that cycle of being narrow, being stuck. It induces perspective. The most natural way to do that is to go, again, if your bodily ability and your context allow safely, just going out to the nature and take a walk. But don't look on the ground, look up, wide and far. So evolutionarily speaking, if you are in the nature and you have peripheral vision, you know, the side visions that we can kind of see, but not really, right, without focusing. So if you see that there's no threat coming from the both sides, then your body has an easier time to calm down. And also as you are walking, you can regulate. You can move around the energy, the nervous energy that you have, right? And there are ways to do that too. In that way, you have the natural bilateral stimulation because you are walking. Your eyes are not going to be just straight ahead. You're looking around. So you're accessing these different parts of the brain because eyes are extensions of the brain, right? So you are kind of activating different parts of the brain that way as well. And for the listeners who would like to read more about this, read on EMDR. Bilateral stimulation, and the Huberman lab at Stanford has quite a bit of information on that as well. And also, so those are the good ones to refer people to.
I love that. It's so interesting, all of these ways that we can bring awareness to ourselves and how we operate to be able to relate better with others and relate better with ourselves, you know, like just that exercise and a valuable thing. You know, I found writing down, this is very new that I did this, and instant relief. And I had this whole story and I wanted to talk to my girlfriend about it and, you know, to hash it out through all the logical things that I've learned through this podcast. And instead, I wrote it out. I was like, okay, I feel good. I don't need to have this conversation. And not to say that there aren't conversations to be had, but that's why I love, you know, being able to get this information from people like yourself and to share it with our listeners. So thank you so much, Dr. Sarah, for coming on the show today. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online, a little bit about your book, and if there's anything we skipped over or maybe something you want to emphasize before we say goodbye?
Sure. Can I just give you an exercise?
Yes.
A lot of people would like to talk about something that happened, right? Even after doing the journaling and, you know, realizing that there's nothing to be talked about. I often recommend for people who are in a relationship, have a couple's jar for yourself with a bit of post-it, little notes, and a pen on the side. When something comes up that you feel like I need to bring it up, especially if it's sensitive, it requires going in-depth conversations, write it on that and put it in that jar. And then once a week, go for a walk, couples walk, and say, hey, I brought something from my jar. Can I please bring it up? And don't go more than 1 hour. And you just go walk and then bring it up with your partner. And in doing that, you are following the 4 A's rule. These are all in the book. You know, I don't want people to feel overwhelmed and, you know, feeling like they're not capturing it. So 4A is you're going on that walk or in any situation, you want to bring something. The first one is assess the context. Is this person hungry, angry, tired, bored, high, drunk, you know, whatever. They're attentive, they're okay, in a good shape, both of you, right? Bring the conversation up. Hey, I would like to talk to you on that, on our walk. Announce the issue. I would like to talk about such and such. It could be, by the way, that you are going to plan for your next vacation. It's not like a horrible thing to discuss all the time, right? So that's one. The third one is acknowledge how important it is for you, for the other person, for the relationship, how sensitive it could be for either of you. So acknowledgement of it. And end by asking, after this conversation, can we have more time to talk about this? Or can we make sure that we don't do this? Or can we mend it in this way? So it should always come to that specific ask. We're not going to just discuss and leave the other person hanging and figuring it out.
I love that. I was just scribbling down all 4 A's there. And wow, such a valuable tool.
Sure. So as we're to find me, I'm on Instagram with, you know, posts that I do. And I have, you know, if people want to receive more information, like in a more meaningful way, I recommend that they go to my website, sara-nasirzadeh.com, and join my newsletter so that they receive, I send tools and worksheets and stuff, you know, around relationships, self-literacy, relational literacy. And the book is everywhere from today, Love by Design, 6 Ingredients to Build a Lifetime of Love.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on the book coming out the day that we're recording this. This will actually go out a bit later, but that's so exciting. And we'll have all of those links in our show notes and on our website. And thanks again for coming on the show, Dr. Sarah.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.